If you were in my classroom, I'd be telling you, okay, everybody close your Chromebooks, put your computers away, take your earbuds out. We're going to get started. They all put earbuds in their hoods and stuff and try to hide like they're listening. And then like, oh, because they're those little cordless ones. But we take them away and they don't get them back till Friday. And they're like, their phones too. If they had their phone out, it's gone till Friday. In the principal's safe. They are not happy to have their phone gone for 4 days. That's pretty good. It works. They don't bring their phones out. It works. Because you know what they're doing now is they're taping teachers and recording us, and then they use it against us. The kids are sneaky these days, man. So I got to watch my P's and Q's always. Here too, right? Obviously. We're on the Surfline cam right now. Everybody wave to the El Porto close-up cam. So if you ever want to see how the weather is down here, wake up and look at the Surfline El Porto close-up cam, and you'll see what it looks like down here. So my wife said maybe we shouldn't send out the email about umbrellas that scared people away. Just let people figure it out. Just come, you know. So anyway. Well, okay, well, that was my point last night. Just say we're on. Yeah. Just we're on. Okay. All right. So are y'all encouraged from that chit-chat? Yes. Isn't it good just to talk to a believer? It's just different. You know, when you're with non-believers all week, it's just a different conversation. It can only go so deep. We all have the Holy Spirit, and so we have this koinonia. We have this kindred spirit. We have this likeness. Because God is in us talking to each other. It's really a fascinating thing. You know? It's a spiritual conversation. Even just talking about the weather, football, it has a different level of understanding. So, wow, this is a nice day. All right. Well, last week we found out in Acts 9, God's church grows when prayers are answered and when people are healed, right? Raise your hand if the Holy Spirit had touched you in the last couple weeks during the healing time. Look around, guys. There's evidence right there, okay? God wants to move in our midst to verify His realness. I feel far away from y'all. He wants to verify the reality of His presence by touching our lives. So this is not just an academic exercise. It's really important. Well, today we're moving on to chapter 10, which is an exciting, important chapter in history. God is going to make the case that when He said that all nations would be blessed through Abraham, He wasn't kidding. All nations. Remember, we read in Genesis when this church first started that as the sea is, the sand is on the seashore, will be the descendants, right, of the family of Abraham. That His promises were generations and generations to come. So let's turn to today's reading in your owner's manual. And we're going to start with the last verse in Acts 9 to lead into 10. Verse 43. This is right after all these people got saved. They received Jesus into their heart by faith, received salvation after seeing the paralytic healed, Tabitha raised from the dead, and Joppa and Lydda. And so Peter hung out. He says Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. He stuck around. He didn't just lead them to Christ and then leave and bail. He stuck around to answer questions, spend time with them. And he's staying with this tanner. This is significant because a tanner would be considered unclean because he worked with animals and cleaned animals and tanned skins of animals, which would be considered unclean. This is a precursor of how God is going to pronounce what is clean in the next passage and how He was setting the stage for Peter to be His instrument. So now let's look at Chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. And I really encourage you to read it either in your phone or the Bible, because when you read it, it gets in you better, right? Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Speaking of praying to God continually, I would like to pray. Dear Lord, I ask, Lord, that you please help us to understand your word today, that you'll open our mind to understand your scriptures, that you'll help it to apply to our lives and understand the significance of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Cornelius was a very important guy. A centurion was carefully selected in the area, a man put in charge of 100 men within this cohort, this Italian cohort. He was in charge of 100 guys, so he would be selected carefully. He lived in Caesarea, which was the headquarters of the Roman forces of occupation. So it was a key place. So his role was key in keeping stability in the region. So now let's continue in verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, so if you start at 6 in the morning, you go till lunch, so it's like 3 in the afternoon. So about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. Okay, this is not a dream or a trance. Okay? It is a clear revelation by way of an angel. And now remember I told you that a guy came to me when I was a missionary in Minnesota and talked to me and said, an angel just told me you're going to Africa. And I was like, really? An angel just talked to you? Wait a second. Let's talk about that for a second, you know? And then it was interesting because now I've been to Africa 6 times. I'm getting ready to go again. So maybe it was an angel. And maybe he really did tell him I was going to Africa. I'll let God know all that, right? For sure. But we do see a situation here in the New Testament where an angel is speaking to a person. Okay, so let's read on, 4-8. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And how interesting how he says, Lord. I think that's a teaching in itself. What is it, Lord? That shows the condition of his heart and openness to understand that God could speak to him. What is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned 2 of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So God gives Cornelius directions to set up the moment to hear the gospel. And then simultaneously calls Peter to action. So God has a plan here to bring the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time. And he's setting the stage using Cornelius because Cornelius has already been seeking God. In McLaren's expository on this subject, he says, it would have seemed that the last place to look for the first Gentile Christian would have been in the barracks at Caesarea. And yet there God's angel went for him and found him. It has often been discussed whether Cornelius was a proselyte or not, a believing Jew. And it matters very little. He was drawn to the Jews' religion, had adopted their hours of prayer, reverenced their God, had therefore cast off idolatry, gave alms to the people as acknowledgement that their God was his God, alms, you know, gifts, donations, and cultivated habitual devotion, which he had diffused among his household, both of slaves and soldiers. So their whole household was doing this. It is a beautiful picture of a soul feeling after a deeper knowledge of God as a plant turns its half-open flowers to the sun. Such seekers do not grope without touching. It is not only unto the seed of Jacob that God has never said, seek you me in vain. The story is a message of hope to all such seekers. I love that. That there's people out there seeking God right now and they don't know the answer, but God wants to give it to them. This is a message of hope for people all over the world. That's why I called it For All Nations. This story has a message of hope to all such seekers and sheds precious light on dark problems in regard to the relation of such souls in heathen lands to the light and love of God. If you're worried about the people around the world that haven't heard Jesus yet, don't worry. God loves them and is sending people to them now. See, he wishes that none perish, but all come to know everlasting life. That's why he hasn't come back yet, because not everybody's had a chance to hear. The vision appeared to Cornelius in the manner corresponding to his spiritual susceptibility. That's interesting too. This happened because he was already open to the things of God. Show me who you are. It says in Romans 1:20 that all men know that God exists because his invisible attributes are clearly seen from what he's made. We know that everybody knows that God exists. That's why when people say they're agnostic, I think they're way more honest than saying they're an atheist. Because an atheist is suppressing the truth. Whereas an agnostic is acknowledging the fact that there is a God, they just haven't come to any conclusions. So he was seeking God. And it came at the hour of his prayer, 3 p.m. So he was very disciplined as a soldier and in his spiritual life, taking that time every day, and he had diffused it to his whole household. God's angels ever draw near to hearts opened by desire to receive them. Not in visible form, but in reality, bright, harnessed angels stand all around the chamber where prayer is made. Isn't that a cool commentary? Bright, harnessed angels stand all around the chamber where prayer is made. Our hours of supplication are God's hours of communication. I'll say that again. Our hours of supplication are God's hours of communication. Close quotes. So he was a devout man who believed in God, feared God, and made donations to the Jewish people. He prayed continually. He was a seeker. He desired God and the things of God. The only thing missing in his life was the gospel. That's what missions is. That's why we're going to Malawi. There's people seeking God right now. They just don't know what to do next to be saved. McLaren continues in his commentary, "The all-important truth in the words is that the prayers and alms coming from a devout heart of a man who had never heard of Jesus Christ were acceptable to God. Nonetheless, Cornelius needed Jesus, and the recompense made to him was the knowledge of the Savior." He needed to know about Jesus. His heart was open. "The belief that in many a heathen heart such yearning after a dimly known God has stretched itself toward light and been accepted of God does not in the least conflict with the truth, there is none other name given among men where must we be saved." This name is enough. Jesus is enough. He died for the whole world. "It sheds a bright and most welcome light of hope into awful darkness. Christ is the only Savior, but it's not for us to say how far off from the channel in which it flows, the water of life may percolate and feed the roots of distant trees." In other words, we don't know how much God is affecting all these people in the Middle East that haven't heard about Jesus. He's working right now to touch their lives. They just need to hear the gospel. Cornelius' rigid religion was not a substitute for Christ, but was the occasion of his being led to Christ and finding full conscious salvation there. I love this part, the last part. "God leads seeking souls by his own wonderful ways." God leads seeking souls by his own wonderful ways, like Joe. He's riding by on his bike a year ago, feeling desperate, turns around at the stacks, comes back here for coffee and donuts. My wife invites him to stay. He's been here ever since. Wonderful ways, coffee and donuts. Right? God uses wonderful ways to bring us into his fold. And we may leave all such things in his hand, assured that no heart ever hungered after righteousness and was not filled. We can leave this in his hands, that all hearts that have ever hungered has not also been filled, right? That's why we go to Malawi. That's why we go to these faraway places. That's why we go to this village in northern Baja, San Jose de la Zora. They know God in their heart. They know He exists, but they haven't heard the gospel message. There's a wonderful book by Don Richardson called Eternity in Their Hearts, and he went around and investigated cultures all around the world and found out they are originally monotheistic. They believed in one God, and over time they became polytheistic, worshiping many gods, because they started to worship things made with our hands, and the volcano and the ocean and the lightning and different things, because they didn't know how to reach the one God. But they all began believing in God. In Machu Picchu in Peru, they worshiped the sun. And one day the leader saw a cloud go in front of the sun and block the sun. And he thought, now if the sun is God, how could a cloud diffuse God? That doesn't make sense to me. So he looked in his own background, in his own literature, and discovered that his own people at one time believed in the one holy God, because they knew him in their hearts. And they all repented and got right with God, but they kept it at the higher echelon of that society in Peru, and they didn't allow the lower caste or whatever, the lower levels, economic levels, the lower levels of people find out about it, because they wanted to keep them like they were. And so eventually all the elite died off and no one ever found out about it. That's one of the stories he has in the book. It's called Eternity in Their Hearts. In Ecclesiastes, it says that God has set eternity in the heart of men. We all long for eternity. And they need Christ, because you can't get into heaven without Him. That's why Jesus is actually showing up in Muslim communities right now, because we can't get there because geopolitical borders are preventing us from getting in. So Jesus just comes Himself, shows up in their hotel room. Hey, why are you persecuting me? Follow me. It's happening over and over and over right now, all over the world. Look it up. It's amazing. That's how much God loves us. If we can't get there ourselves, He's going to do it Himself. That's good news. So number one in your notes is preach the gospel to all nations. Don't just go to all nations and bring food and water like we're going to do in Malawi. We drill water wells. We do medical ministry. We bring soccer balls. One of the highlights of the mission last year was when Daniel handed a soccer ball to the chief. And they all had this grand ceremony because they'd never had a real soccer ball. That's a good thing, but it's not enough. They need to hear that Jesus saves us from our sins, that there's no way to get into heaven apart from Christ. Matthew 28:18-20 says, go to all the world teaching, baptizing them to follow my commands, and I will be with you to the ends of the age. He says, go to the remotest parts of the world. Take this gospel message. In Matthew 24:14 says, when all of them have heard, then the end will come. Romans 10:12-15 talks about how will they hear unless we go? How will they know unless they've heard the message? We have to go and preach the gospel. How will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Oh, I don't know. I just like to kind of show Christ, you know, and when necessary, use words. Well, that's cute. But, however, they need to hear the gospel. It's a cop-out, really, for people that don't want to open their mouths, to be honest with you. People love that comment from Francis of Saint Assisi. Saint Francis of Assisi? He wasn't a sissy. But my point is, we have to tell them the message. We can't just love them. We also have to bring the message. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Look at your neighbor and say, you could have some beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So let's go on. Romans 10, verse 9. So, on the next day, as they were on their way approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So I would assume that's around noon. They start at 6 in the morning. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. So this is different this time. It's not an angel just talking to him. It's a trance. And he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came out to him, said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, by no means, Lord." You know, this is not the first time he's told Jesus no, by the way, remember? "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unholy and unclean." He's a good Jew, nothing but kosher foods. Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times. Sound familiar? God had to ask, Jesus had to ask Peter and tell him to feed my sheep three times, remember? And then Peter also denied Christ three times. So Peter needs three, it's about threes with Peter, right? So this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Whoosh! And he's like, "What was that?" Right? He's still perplexed, because this is huge. "What do you mean I can eat anything? Is that you, Lord? Maybe I'm just had some bad pizza," right? So here Peter's consciousness was heightened to receive a vision from God. You know, years ago I was deep in prayer and worship and I had this vision, and I remembered every time I see these words in Scripture of me holding a sheep, and I was just holding the sheep and petting it. And all of a sudden it turned around and it had my face. It was kind of interesting. It was just an interesting thought. And I threw the sheep down, and to me, the Lord was showing me, you're safe in God's pasture as one of His sheep. It was a very comforting thing for me. And I always remember that He's my shepherd and I'm one of His sheep. And I'm safe in His pasture. And my boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. So wherever He's put up a fence in my life, I'm not going to argue with Him. And you know, we get in trouble when we start complaining about those fences. But God, that's not fair. I don't want to be a middle school teacher like 20 years ago. I'd come home and tell my wife, "This is not fair. This job is terrible." Exactly. That's how I'd fall over, just like that. But I had to eventually just relax and let God's fences in my life be good. My boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. He had a plan for me. He has a plan for us. Trust Him. And it's in Joel 2:28. It talks about young men having visions and dreaming dreams and in the last days. And this is quoted in Acts 2:17. So if you flip back to Acts 2:17, you'll see that this is what God has planned to happen in modern times. 2:17. "And it shall be in the last days," and I believe we're there, "God says that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." We've been talking about speaking the Word of God into people's lives, having some foreknowledge of what God's going to do. "And your young men shall see visions." That could happen at Daniel and Chris's Bible study or Joe's Bible study as they come before the Lord. "And your young men shall see visions." This is a vision that he's seeing. "And your old men," maybe I'm one of those guys now, "shall dream dreams." Woo! Old guys, right? So we could dream dreams, right? "Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth in my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And he goes on talking about the great day of the Lord coming back. So this is a biblical thing, and we see an example of it happening here with Peter. So my second point in your notes, God can speak to you through, there's three notes here, to three blanks to fill in. God can speak to you through dreams, visions, or even an angel. He did it before, he could do it again. And I gave you the scriptures there. This is groundbreaking, you guys. Kosher is out the window, right? It's terrible for the, you know, the business, the Jewish business where they're buying only Jewish food. So now they can go to the other supermarkets, get everything at Trader Joe's. Game on. Time for ham and cheese sandwiches. Woohoo! Right? But it's more than that. It's more than that. All men, this is symbolic for all men, will be made clean too. Jews and Gentiles alike, all nations. This is groundbreaking. This is a major departure from in Scripture, where suddenly the Gentiles are now being included. Praise God for that, right? For us non-Jews. I think that's most of us. Is anybody here Jewish by heritage? So that'd be us, right? Now, God needs the truth to be told. He is a God for all nations. He needs someone to bring the good news, and Peter is going to be that guy to get this started. This guy that has a foot and mouth disease, God is using to bring the truth. And he's going to be the guy to bring the good news to Cornelius and his household, and it's going to happen in a creative way, like we did with coffee and donuts for Joe. And then Joe took it to other people in a creative way. So let's read and see what happens. 10, 17 through 20. Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind, so he's still tripping, right? He's greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be. Behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I'm the one you're looking for. You talk about an answer to a trance or a vision. Immediately, he goes downstairs, and there they are. I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. So that leads me to third point number three. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. John 10:27 says, my sheep will hear my voice. And in John 16:13, if you'll look at that, John 16:13, we're starting the book of John tomorrow, chapters 1 and 2. You'll really enjoy reading John. John 16:13, verse 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit's doing this. The Holy Spirit is doing this. Years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, go to New Mexico. I have Indians waiting for you. How many have heard me tell that story? I was praying, Lord, should I go to Hawaii and go surfing or go do ministry with American Indians because I have a heart for the American Indian? He said, go to New Mexico. I have Indians waiting for you. That's kind of specific. So I asked my friend who had contacts in Hawaii, can you get me a flight in Hawaii? He said, no, but there's great flights to Albuquerque. And I looked at Colin and I said, why did you say Albuquerque? It was so random. To this day, I feel like I'm making it up, really. Albuquerque, that's what I had on my heart. So I got the ticket to Albuquerque. I went and stayed at his dad's house that they won in a poker game, which is interesting. They won their house in a poker game. Would you even? No, really, you don't have to give me your house. It was just a game. No, he accepted the gift. So they lived in a house. They won a poker game. And so the next day we went to the Santo Domingo Pueblo, and they were having an arts and crafts fair. It opened the door for us to go in We spent the day looking around, nothing happening. Then I saw these boys acting like gang members. I said, hey guys, you need to get into my gang, JCPG. They're like, what's up? What's that? You know? I said, Jesus Christ Prayer Gangsters. You know, I'm not 13, I'm not 14, I'm 26, Holmes. I'm the whole alphabet. I'm Alpha Omega. Rifa Jesus, I don't fight with weapons of this world. I fight with weapons of divine power that demolishes strongholds. So if you want to get jumped in with Jesus, get jumped into Jesus Christ Prayer Gangsters. And they did. And a lady stuck her head through one of the tarps. An Indian woman said, praise the Lord. It was one of their mothers. So I went to their house, and it turns out someone had shot at them the week before from a neighboring tribe, and they were getting a gang together. They'd never been gangsters. They were wannabes. They were getting a gang together, had got their guns together, and were going to go shoot these people. And I showed up that weekend. Hello? It was radical. You can't make this stuff up. So I went down, a white guy in the Indian neighborhood, and went into their home. You don't just do that. And stood and held hands in this home. Leonce's father just left the family. The big problem was his father had left them. Right? And we held hands and just felt the Holy Spirit fall in that house. It was incredible. As we prayed for their family. I sent a message to their pueblo yesterday hoping to see if Leonce is still around. And it was just remarkable. I couldn't believe it. But God started the whole thing by speaking to my heart. It was led by the Holy Spirit. And so, let God lead you. That's number three. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. So, if you look at 10:21, in 10:21, Peter followed the Spirit's lead. Look at this. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for which you came? He just went and did it. And then in 22, you know, he says, they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. And they said, okay, well then, come on in. They just followed the Lord. And then in verse 23, he says, so he invited them in and gave them lodging. So can you believe the anticipation? Think of the anticipation of what's going to happen next. So let's go on to the next part. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them. Some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So everybody's at the house wondering what's going to happen. What is this all about? When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. This is huge. No more partiality. No more partiality. Jews and Gentiles together, all men equal under God. That's the beauty of our Constitution in the United States, is that all men are created equal under God and have unalienable rights. And that's why one reason I believe our country has been so successful is that has been a key understanding in our government. So the table is set. Let's read on. Verse 29. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I asked for what reason you have sent for me. So, okay, I'm here. What do you want? What do you have to say? Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa. Send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here, present before God, to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So that's it, right there. The table's set. The Holy Spirit has prepared Cornelius' heart. He's ready to hear the gospel. So Peter lets it flow. And at that point, it's 10 o'clock. And I'm thinking maybe we should do the other half next week. So, that's a terrible place to stop. I do that to my kids in my class because I show them these movies from planet Earth, and it shows the cheetah sneaking up on the gazelle, and then all of a sudden I turn it off. Come back tomorrow, find out what happens to the gazelle. I'm like, kill me. Actually, that's what the gazelle said. But I just feel like we wouldn't be able to do it justice if we kept going. It could be another 20 minutes. So, but right here is where Peter is about to preach the gospel. And so this is a good time for us to remember, what is the gospel? Why are we here? Why are we not at the Elks Club, at the Knights of Columbus, at Jehovah Witnesses Kingdom, what is it called? The Kingdom Hall. Right? Why are we not at the Mormon Tabernacle? Why are we not at the shrine in Pacific Palisades where they believe that all teachers are equal? Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad. Why are we not at the mosque? Why are we not at the Buddhist Hindu temple in Malibu that my kids have seen? Why are we not there? Because none of that stuff is true. It's just man's way to try to reach God. Jesus and the message of the gospel is God reaching down to man, sending Jesus to us, not us trying to build a Jacob's ladder, to build our own Tower of Babel and reach heaven ourselves. The gospel is good news because God came to us. He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish. There is no expiration date on the new body. Look at your neighbor and say, you got an expiration date, dude. But here's the good news. You're going to come out of that body and you're going to be resurrected. That's the good news. A good friend of ours is laid to rest. Goes at Breakwater Church. He went to the hospital to get his defibrillator worked on. He filled with fluid and all of a sudden he was dead. But I know he's going to be in heaven because he believed in Jesus. Right? Right now, people getting the coronavirus are getting infected and dying. If you have Jesus, the virus can't keep you out of heaven. It can't keep you down. The good news is that Jesus beat death by going to the cross, paying for our sin. The wages of sin is death. What is a wage? It's money. There's a payment. It's a payment we could never possibly pay. It's just too big. We could never pay the payment. It's not enough. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will not die spiritually. We will die physically, but we will live spiritually. And that's why if we ever get into a helicopter crash, you know, Kobe went to Mass the morning of his death. We want to hope that he got right with God. He talked about how Jesus, after he had his incident when he was young in that hotel room and he had to come forward and, you know, it was pretty tough on his marriage. He said, you know, everybody's got a cross to carry. God is good. He was quoted as saying that. So he was familiar with the gospel. We want to hope that he got right with God when he had time in that helicopter, but it happened quickly. They slammed into that hillside quickly, going 120 miles an hour, something like 140 miles an hour. So today is the day for salvation. Whoever's listening to me within earshot, Jesus came to die for you. He wishes that none perish, but all come to have everlasting life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And unless you're born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Because the perishable can't be with the imperishable. We need to be born again. So let's all, I believe we've all received Jesus in our heart here today. Is there anybody here? Am I missing anybody? I believe I know everybody. Let's all rehearse our prayer loudly in case someone's listening so they'll know how to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I fall short every day. Forgive me. I want to go to heaven. I know after you died that you rose again from the dead. So I believe what you said. Come into my life with your Holy Spirit and fill me with your power so that I can love, so I can live for others and make a difference on this world, in this world, and then go to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what it's all about. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Guess what, y'all? You're ambassadors for Him. You are the embassy for heaven. You're an embassy, a roving embassy. When we were in Africa years ago, we brought somebody, a Mexican citizen, and we got all the way through London to Johannesburg, and they did not accept her with her Mexican passport. They liked U.S. passports, but not Mexican passports for whatever reason. Said, sorry, you can't come in. So she was in dire need of an embassy. You see that? So, check this out. Of all the people that could have helped her in Johannesburg, South Africa, after traveling for 2 days, an old missionary from Youth with a Mission that I used to be a part of for 2 years was now in charge of the airport. How's that? So she connected Luce with the Mexican embassy, pulled the strings she needed to pull, and we got Luce into South Africa. So our friend from YWAM was made for just the time as that, so that Luce could be with her son. He was able to come in with an American passport so that she could come in. She needed an embassy. Everybody needs the embassy of heaven. You are a roving embassy so that people can find refuge in this world and find hope and get their passport to heaven. Amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, you got the passport to heaven. Share it. Okay? This week, that's your homework. Right? And if you want to read John with us, it's nothing like getting tons of Bible in you. Even if you have to read quickly, because a lot of it I've been kind of reading more quickly instead of studying really hard like I do this. Just getting it in you. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Just getting it in you changes the way you react to people. How you react to trials. Empty bank accounts. Banging into somebody's car. Getting cut off. All those kinds of things, right? I was at Trader Joe's parking lot and somebody drove up the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about? How all the cars go one way. Came up halfway and met me and was wanting me to back up. I'm like, what? So at that moment, you're thinking, okay, Jesus, what do we do? So I actually started backing up myself. I was going to try to get a space behind me, and then he turned and backed up too. I don't know if his girlfriend told him or what, but like, dude, come on, man. We're going the wrong way. So Lord, help us this week, huh? Let's stand up and praise the Lord one last time and just give thanks that He's in our lives, that He's given us purpose, that we are His ambassadors. We're a holy people called by God to proclaim His excellencies in the light and so that people can leave the darkness. And think about the Corneliuses, y'all. Think about the Corneliuses that have been seeking God and they just don't know what to do next. Amen? Look for Corneliuses in your life. Pray for them.